All right, good evening. This week's parsha is Parshat B'Shalach. It's possible that during the course of the first part of the shiur, you may not see the relationship between the shiur and Parshat HaShavua. But trust me, there is a relationship between the two. I really want to deal with one question. It may sound like a very strange question. Which is worse, Lashon Hara or Avodah Zarah? I can see already the looks on your faces. What is the man asking? Which is worse? I mean, Lashon Hara is really very, very bad. But how can one even say in the same breath Lashon Hara and Avodah Zarah? Of course you would answer Avodah Zarah is worse. Or if I would ask the question, which is worse, Rechilus, slander, tale-bearing, or Gilui Arayos, adultery, promiscuity? Same kind of a question. The answer may very well surprise you. Let's make one thing clear at the outset. They're all bad. They're all very bad. We're only asking which one is worse. And we're going to see that under certain circumstances, Lashon Hara and Rechilus are worse. And with regard to other circumstances, Avodah Zarah and Arayos is worse. Maybe what is most significant is, and here you may accuse me of really contradicting what I said earlier. All of this we're going to learn from a letter that doesn't appear in the Sefer. Now, in a sense, the contradiction is I said that it is related to the Parshat HaShavua, and now I'm telling you that it is related to the Parshat HaShavua through a letter that's missing, doesn't even appear there. All right, that's enough of the suspense. Now we can get down to the shiur. I want to begin with a Mesha Chochma. Meir Simcha HaKayin Mitvinsk, the Baal Mesha Chochma. One of his many magnificent essays, but this one I consider of extreme contemporary significance. Terribly, terribly important. Mesha Chochma says the following. And at least he says it on Parshas B'Shalach. So we're already plugged into to the Sefer. Rebbe Simcha says that if we take a look at the breadth of Torah, if we look at Torah law, then we're going to find something that's very, very interesting. That with regard to sins of a religious nature, for example, Avodah Zarah and Arayos, there the Torah tells us clearly what the punishment is. There are sins for which the punishment is capital punishment. There are others for which there's a punishment of kares. There are others for which the punishment is malchus, flagellation, whipping. Most sins of a religious nature, there is punishment. However, if we take a look, on the other hand, sins of a social nature. For example, machlokes, lashon hara, rechilus, gezel, theft, slander, tale-bearing, gossip. All of these are sins of a social nature. And in Torah, there is absolutely no punishment stated. Doesn't say that in the event that somebody talks Lashon Hara that he's going to be brought before Bezdin and Bezdin is going to give him Malkus. It doesn't say that if somebody causes strife, dissension, machlokes within the Jewish community, there is punishment. No such thing. Punishment in Torah is for sins of a religious nature. Sins of a social nature, no punishment. Here comes the premise, the rule that the Mesha Chochma tells us. All of this is true only when we're talking about individuals who sin. If individuals sin commit sins of a religious nature, then there is punishment. If individuals commit sins of a social nature, no punishment. What happens if it's the community? What about if we're talking of a Klal Yisrael that are Mechalei Shabbos? On the one hand. Or we're talking about a Klal Yisrael that speak Lashon Hara. Which then is worse? Here says the Meshech Chachma, when we're talking about a community, a Klal Yisrael, that have sunk into sin, then Chil Shabbos, as he's going to say very clearly, Chil Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rebbe Yisrael will be marich afo, he will wait, he'll be long-suffering, he will be forgiving, but in the event that Jews are committing sins of a social nature, then there is punishment and suffering. This is his general rule. He's now going to give four proofs. And as we go through the proofs, you're going to see precisely what he means. And it's going to make a big difference. Proof number one. Talmud Yerushalmi says the following. A difference between Doro Shel David and Doro Shel Ahav. The generation of David and the generation of Ahav. In the generation of David HaMelech, says the Talmud Yerushalmi, Kulam Tzadikim Hoyu, they were all Tzadikim. Hayidei Shehoyu Vehem Dilatudin, because there were informers, people who spoke Lashon Hara, they went down to war and they fell in battle. Doro Shel Ahav, the generation of Ahav, on the other hand, and we know what the generation of Ahav was like. And if Ahav does not strike a bell, certainly his wife Izebel should. We know what Ahav and Izebel were. Dodo shel Ahav. Of the Avodah Zarah, they were idolaters. Vayidei shelo hoyu behem dilatudin, because there were no informers. Hoyu yordim amulchamu uminatzchim, they went down to battle and they emerged victorious. You understand? The Rishoyim in the days of Ahav, victorious on the field of battle. Doro shel David, they were tzaddikim, yet they suffered losses in battle. What does the Gemara mean? So there is a medrash on a pasuk in Tehillim where David HaMelech says, "Nafshi betoch levoim, my soul is in the midst of lions. Eshkivo lohatim, I lie down with those from whom flames come." B'nei Odom, people that shinehem, their tongues are chanit, their teeth are chanit v'chitzim, spears and arrows. So the Medrash the following. Nafshi betoch levoyim, I live amongst lions, great men, Avner and Amoso, who were gedolei hador, great talmidei chachamim. But there are also people who are lohatim, who are full of the flame of evil passion. Who are they? That's doeg and achitofel shohayulu. Lohatim achaloshen haru, who spoke loshen hara. And they brought the terrible destruction upon Klal Yisrael because of their loshen hara. Their teeth were like spears and like arrows. Uleshonam chedev chada, and their tongue was a sharp sword. And he also, the Medrash says, he's also referring to the people of Ke'ila, one of the places where David found refuge from Shaul was by the Anshei Ke'ila. He saved the people of Ke'ila. And then the people of Ke'ila informed on him to Shaul. The people, the Ziphim, also people whom David had come to their aid and their assistance, and they informed on him, they told Shaul, David is with us. So therefore, Doro shel David, the generation of David, they spoke Lashon Hara, and even though they were tzaddikim, went down to battle, and they fell in battle. Doro shel Ahav, though they were old, they have a desire. They have a desire. But there were no informers. How do we know there were no informers? Izebel wanted to destroy all of the prophets of God. So Ovadia, who was in charge of the house of Ahav, took 100 Nevi'im. He hid 50 in one cave, 50 in another cave, and he sustained them. He brought them food and clothing, all that they needed. Can you imagine? There were many people who were involved in this kind of an undertaking. And it seems that the food came even from the kitchens of Ahav. There's even a medrash that says that the wife of Ovadia borrowed money from the son of Ahav in order to be able to buy supplies for the Nevi'im. So many people are involved, and nobody tells Achav or Izebel. Nobody whispers a word. Can you imagine something of this sort, and not a leak? Not a leak. That was a very special kind of Klal Yisrael. Today, the information leaks before it happens, right? Before it happens. We know what's taking place at cabinet meetings before it took place. No leaks. Proof number one. On the one hand, tzaddikim, but they were Bali Lashon Hara. Bali Lashon Hara, they suffered. Ovdei Avodah Zarah like Achav, they were not Bali Lashon Hara. They weren't informers. They weren't informers. Okay. God is going to bring miracles through them. And on this he says, it is with regard to a community of that sort, the community of Achav. There it says, Hashochin itam betoch tumatam, that God will dwell in their midst, even though they're impure and unclean. They're evil. They're Rishoyim, they're right there with the Zohar, but God's presence is still in their midst. But what about the Bali Lashon Hara in the days of David? There in Tehillim, in Perek Nun Zayin, David HaMelech says, Ruma al Hashamayim. God, rise up to the heavens. Don't dwell in their midst. How can you be in the midst of a community that are informers, slanderers, talebearers? Bali Lashon Hara. That's proof number one. Proof number two says the Meshech Chachmah, take a look, the famous Gemara, we all know the Gemara, why was the first Beit HaMikdash destroyed? Because they had committed the three cardinal sins, Gilead Ayis, Avodah Zarah, and Shvichus Damim, idolatry, adultery, murder. Why was the second Beit HaMikdash destroyed? Because of Sinas Chinam, because there was hatred. For no good reason, Jews hated one another. Gemara asks, which is worse? Which is worse? So the Gemara answers, Tnuei Nechem Bebira, take a look at the Beit HaMikdash. Shechozra l'rishonim. It was given back to the first, but lochozra l'achronim wasn't given back to the second. Those who had committed the three cardinal sins 70 years later, they had a Beit HaMikdash. And we are waiting already more than 1900 years and we don't have a Beit HaMikdash yet. Sinas Chinam, therefore, the social sin is worse than the religious sin. Here it's where he comes to proof number three. Proof number three is in Parshat Noach there are two generations. The beginning of the Seder is Dor HaMavel, the generation of the flood. The end of the Seder is Dor HaPlaga, the generation of the Tower of Babel. What happened to the Dor HaMavel? The generation of the Mavel was wiped out, destroyed. Why? Because the world had become violent. Molo ha'oratz chomos, the world had become full of violence. And the Gemara says, Lo nechtam gzardinam ela al ha'gezel, the final seal of the divine decree was because of theft. There were no laws of property anymore. There was no such thing as property. People were destroying one another socially. You couldn't live in a world of that sort. So what does the Rebbe Yisham do? Destroys them, starts all over again. What was the sin of the Dor HaFlaga? The sin of the generation of the Tower of Babel was the sin of Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says. That they wanted to build a tower that was going to go up to the very heavens because they wanted to wage war with God Himself. Wage war with it. Were they destroyed? No, they weren't destroyed. And the Gemara says, you know why? Gadol HaShalom, great is peace. The fact that they were able to live together with one another in peace, though they be idolaters, God will show them. Therefore, God forgives, He disperses them, does not destroy them. So here we have three proofs, and here the Meshech Chochmah says, V'lachein, therefore, Al Chil Shabbos Ba'avon Hussein HaGadon, for the desecration of Shabbos, it has spread out so much. There God will wait. He will wait. King Tzibur, because it's a cloud. It's Klal Yisrael committing a sin of a religious nature. There God is merciful and He's compassionate. And even with regard to idolatry, the Sifri says, V'nichreta ha-nefesh, nefesh nichreta, an individual is destroyed, not Klal Yisrael, though they be Ovdei Avodah Zarah. She'ein ha-tzibur nichrosim. However, in the event that the breach within the Jewish community is the result of the fact that they are destroying one another with their tongues, like swords and arrows, lachmos v'ligzol, to steal and to rob, v'nishchetu b'midot, and there is a destruction, an erosion and a decay of character and personality, then there are big problems. Big problems. Then God looks at it from a completely different point of view. Then something has to be done. The fourth proof of the Meshech Chachma is there are two grave sins that are committed by the Dor HaMidbar, the generation in the desert. Chet HaEgel and Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the golden calf and the sin of the Meraglim. Chet HaEgel, 40 days after Jews were at Mount Sinai, they heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo b'atzmo saying, Anochi Hashem Elokeach Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, they're zeichet to see the divine presence in all of its glory and its majesty. And 40 days later, a few thousand Jews are dancing around a golden calf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Leich Reiv Ki Shikes Amcha, terrible things that they've done. Moshe prays, and they are forgiven. Not only are they forgiven, that's all God says. Okay, I want you to build a Mishkan. Build a Mishkan. What happens with the sin of the Meraglim? The sin of the Meraglim is not forgiven. But Midbar Hazeh Yiplu Pigrechem, you're going to die here in the desert. You're not going to make it into Eretz Yisrael. What was the Chet HaMeraglim? The sin of the Meraglim was a sin of Lashon Hara. Yes, Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael is destructive of Klal Yisrael. It is a social sin of the highest order, destructive. And there, God does not forgive. Doesn't forgive. You're going to remain here in the desert for 40 years. Those who had sinned are going to die in the desert. The next generation is going to go in to Eretz Yisrael. So here are the four proofs of the Meshech Chachma. Big difference between sins of a religious nature and sins of a social nature. On the communal level, on a Klal Yisrael Tzibur level, religious sins, God will be forgiven. Forgive. Well, wait, the time will come that they're going to see what my Shabbos is, they're going to see what I am, they're going to know all about this. But if there is strife and dissension within the community, it's a community that is already in the process of destroying itself. What does all of this have to do with Parshas B'Shalach? Parshas B'Shalach says the following. Klal Yisrael are on their way out of Mitzrayim. They come to the beach along the Red Sea, and there is the dark, deep, blue, ominous sea before them. And on the other side, the 600 chariots and all of the forces of Egypt coming, and there they're caught in the vice on the beach. Alright, so comes the great miracle. When the great miracle of Kriyas Yam Suf occurs, the Pasuk says the following. Perek Yud Dalid, Pasuk Chav Bet. Vayavol b'nei Yisrael b'toch hayom b'yavashah. Children of Israel came into the midst of the sea on dry land. Bahamayim lahem choma, miyaminam umismolam, and the water was a wall on the right and on the left. Vayedu from Mitzrayim, and the Egyptians pursued them. Vayavorachem, and they came after them. Kol, Sus, Paro, all of the horses of Paro, Richdo, Veroshab, his chariots and his riders, El Toch Hayam, into the Yam, rode the 600 chariots. Vayibash Moras Habok, and it came to pass, as morning came, by Ashkav Hashem El Machaneh Mitzrayim, God looked upon the camp of Egypt, Bamud Eish Ba'onon, with the pillar of fire and cloud, by Yoham, and he confused Machaneh Mitzrayim, the camp of Egypt. By Yosef Adolf and Markavotav, and he took off the wheels of their chariots, by Yenahageu B'chveidut, and they were being pulled with heaviness, with difficulty, by Yom Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim said, O Nusam Mitzrayim Yisrael, let us flee from before Yisrael, because God is with the God who waged war with them, for them, in Mitzrayim, is here. Hashem said to Moshe,
stretch out your hand upon the sea, v'yashuvu amayim al mitzrayim, and let the waters come back unto the Egyptians, al rigbo v'al paroshot, unto the chariots and unto the riders. Moshe stretched out his hand over the sea, v'yashuvu amayim lifno d'bokele itano, and toward morning the sea went back to its original flow. Mitzrayim nosim v'kroso, and there the Egyptians are fleeing, speeding into the sea toward the water. V'yinayir Hashem et Mitzrayim betel hayam, and God cast the Egyptians into the yam. V'yashuvu amayim, and the waters turned. V'yichasu et harechev bet haparoshim, covered the chariots and the riders, l'chol chel paro, all of the forces of paro, haboyim achareim v'yam, who came after them into the sea. Lo nishar behem ad echad, not a single one remained. U'v'nei Yisrael, this is the last pasuk we need. U'v'nei Yisrael, the children of Israel, holchu v'yavosha, they went through the dry land, betoch hayam, into the sea, v'hamayim lohem choma, mi'yiminam u'mi'smolam. Water was a wall, mi'yiminam u'mi'smolam. Alright? The first pasuk that we learned, pasuk chavet, also said, v'hamayim lohem choma, mi'yiminam u'mi'smolam. The water was a wall for them to the right and to the left. And it says it again here in Pasuk 29, except that there's a difference. Choma in Pasuk 22 is written with a vav. Choma in Pasuk 29 is written without a vav. Says the Medrash, as all of this was about to take place, Samuel, the Malach Samuel, said to God, Ribbono Shel Olam, Lo Ovdu Yisrael Avedah Zarah b'Mitzrayim. Yisrael didn't worship idols in Mitzrayim. V'ata Oseh Lahem Nisim. You do miracles for them. And Samuel said it loud enough so that the prince of the sea heard. Nismale Aleihem Chema. So the prince of the sea became full of Chema, of anger against Klal Yisrael, and he wanted to drown them. So the Rebbe Yisrael stopped him. No. Can't do that. Klal Yisrael is going to emerge, and the Mitzrayim are going to be drowned. Asks the Meshech Chochma, why didn't Samuel get angry in Mitzrayim? Back there in Mitzrayim, God brings down Tzvadei Akinim Orem Devashim Borod Arbei Choshech Makas Bechoros. Why doesn't Samuel say, Rebbeinu, what are you doing over here? Poor Mitzrayim. What do you want from them? Are the Jews any better? These and those are idol worshippers. How long the way they have a desire? So what do you want? Why now? Here at the Yamsuf, Samuel wakes up and he says, Rebbeinu, when are you going to do nisim for them? They're idolaters. Says Rav Meir Simcha, you know why? Because something happened on the way out of Mitzrayim. Something happened that night. You know what happened that night? The Medrash says that night, as they were on the beach, with, as we say, the sea on one side and the Egyptians on the other, the Medrash says Nechleku la'arba kitos, they were divided. They broke into four groups. One group said, Nipolayam, let's commit communal suicide, let's throw ourselves into the sea. No way we're ever going to get out of this. A second group said, let's go back to Egypt. We knew it would never work. Better that we be in Egypt than we be here. There was a third group that said, never again. Fight. We're going to stand here on the beach and we're going to wage war. And then there was another group that said, listen, Nitzaveach Kinegdo, let's make a lot of noise. Can you imagine 2 million people in the middle of the night on the beach will all start screaming? The Meshugga Berin and the Egyptians are going to flee. Where does the Medrash know that this happened? Take a look back in Perek Yudalit, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Jews had been complaining, we know why you took us out, because there isn't enough burial place in Mitzrayim. You took us out that we should die here in the desert. Leave us alone, let us work for Mitzrayim. Leave us alone, enough with this freedom.
Pasuk Gimel, by Yom Moshe Elham, Moshe said to the people, Al Tiro, don't be afraid. If Yatzvu Ru et Yeshuat Hashem, stand fast, and you're going to see the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asher Yaseh Lachem Hayom, what he's going to do for you today. Ki Asher Re'item Mitzrayim Hayom, the way in which you see Egypt today, Lo Tosifu Lo Tom Od Ad Olam, you're never again going to see them in this way. Hashem Yilachem Lachem, God will wage war for you, Vatem Tachadishun, and you will remain silent. Medrash says that in these two psukim, Moshe Rabbeinu is addressing all four groups. The group that said, let's make noise, so he says, Atem Tachadishun. Sha, sha, be quiet. The ones who said, let's fight, Hashem Yilachem Lachem. God is going to wage war for you. In the pasuk before, those who wanted to throw themselves into the sea, he tells them, Hityatsu, stay where you are, Uru, and you're going to see at Yeshuat Hashem, the salvation of God. Those who said, let's go back to Mitzrayim, he says, the way you see Mitzrayim today, never again are you going to see them. Says the Meshech Chachma, when Jews were in Egypt, and they were idolaters, but there was unity. They were not torn apart from within. The Malach Samuel couldn't open up his mouth. Because though they were committing sins of a religious nature, they were only having disorder. But there was Ava, the Achva, the Reus in Klein Yisrael, and therefore, Samuel doesn't have anything to say. Here at this crucial juncture in history, they find themselves on the Yam. Everything has changed. Now Jews are torn apart from within. And you can imagine what was going on the beach. Let's fight. This gets to fight. When's the last time? We know how to fight. We know how to fight. Let's jump into the ocean. And the two of you, you're both wrong, you don't know what you're talking about. What? Fight, throw yourself into the ocean. Let's go back to Mitzrayim. Was it failed in Mitzrayim? It wasn't good in Mitzrayim. And then the fourth fellow comes along and says, what are you talking about? Fight! Suicide! Go back to Mitzrayim. Let's make noise! Imagine the four of us are making enough noise. 2 million? Make a lot of noise. A Klal Yisrael that's torn apart from within. So now they are to be condemned for Avodah Zarah. Because now they can no longer be looked upon as a community because they're not a community. If they're torn apart from within, it's not a Klal Yisrael anymore. They're individuals. If they're individuals, then they're Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and if they're Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they don't deserve to be saved. Later on, the Medrash goes on to say, aye, Samuel, God tells him, you don't understand. Jews, when they worshipped idols, it was under duress. They suffered so much. I'm going to take them out, and I'm going to bring them to Har Sinai and see what's going to happen. This is the Meshech Chachma. And if we've done nothing more than learn the Meshech Chachma, dayenu, sufficient. It means, of course, there are extremely important ramifications. Very often we make the mistake of thinking that if we're going to extend a hand to those who are far from Yiddishkeit, the measure of success is if I get that non-religious Jew to be Shemesh Shabbos and Eichel Kashrus and be Medagdik B'chol HaMitzvos, that's success, and anything less than that is not success. Terrible mistake. What happens in the event that all that I'm able to accomplish is that he'll understand me, that he'll see that I don't hate him, that I like him, and I care about him? If all that I can accomplish is to create an atmosphere of Abba V'Achba, of friendship, and I can be as patient as the Rebbeinu, the Rebbeinu can be patient if they're Mechal Shabbos, I'll also be patient. I have to out-God God. If that would be our approach to secular Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and what would be created would be an atmosphere of love, then nothing can stand in the way of Klal Yisrael. Then Yordan and Milchama, they can go down to war and they will emerge victorious, though they be Mechalalei Shabbos. God forbid, what about on the other side? And what happens if we'd all be from Umvetzchitzchloggen and Tzahagen and from within? Nothing has been accomplished. Worse. Our situation is infinitely worse that way. There is so much that we can do just to create an atmosphere of a friendship in Eretz Yisrael. We're in the same boat. We're Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. Is it our job to make everybody Shem Shabbos and everybody Echel Kachis? And what are we going to leave for Mashiach? There's enough unemployment. Do we need one unemployed Mashiach? So he'll come and he will make sure that Klal Yisrael will return to their roots and to their sources. But we have to begin with creating an atmosphere of understanding, of mutual respect. What the Meshech Chochma says, one can really see it in a Gemara. The Gemara in Masechta the Kedushin says the following. Daf Mem Amud Aleph.
Famous Mishnah, Eilu Dvorim. Sh'odam Osa Otam Ve'Ochel Perotein Ve'Olam Azeh Va'Kan Kayemet Lo La'Olam Haba. There are things, mitzvahs that a person does, that he eats the fruit in this world, but the keren remains as a reward. La'Olam Haba Elohim Kibud Ave'Ein. Honoring father and mother, gemilus chasad and kindness, da'avah shalom bein adam l'chaveru, bringing peace between man and fellow man. The Talmud Torah kineged kulam, Talmud Torah is greater than them all. Gemara goes on to say, Gemara brings a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Imru tzadik kitov, kifri malaleyem yokelu. Say to the tzadik that is good, that the fruit of his deeds he will eat. So the Gemara asks, V'chiyesh tzadik tov, v'yesh tzadik she'eno tov? Yeshayahu is talking about a good tzadik. So the Gemara asks, what are you talking about? Is there a good tzadik and a tzadik that's not good? So the Gemara says, yes, absolutely. Tov la'shamayim v'labriyod, if a person is good in his relationship with God and to fellow man, zehu tzadik tov, that's a good tzadik. Tov la'shamayim, if he's good to heaven, he performs the mitzvahs bein adam la'makom very well. V'ra la'brios, but he is bad in his relationship with fellow man. Zehu tzadik she'eino tov. That's a tzadik who's not good. So there's a good tzadik, and there's a no good tzadik. That's what the Gemara says. What does that mean? Maybe we should ask the question: the one who keeps mitzvot bein adam la'makom. What's accomplished? That he is fulfilling the will of God. So what's wrong? So he fulfills the will of God. Why is Bein Odom Lachavero greater? Here he fulfills the will of God, and there he fulfills the will of God. I believe the difference is the following. What does God want? Benjamin wants to be Zon Umufarnes Lachol. He wants to make sure that everybody has their needs met. Rabbeinu Shalom is troubled when the poor don't have what they need, when people suffer. You know what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants? He wants that there should be people who should do his bidding. Do that which he wants should be done. Which means the person who is fulfilling the mitzvahs bein adam la'makom, the religious mitzvahs, so he has the schar of listening, accepting the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The one who fulfills the mitzvahs bein adam l'chaveru, not only does he fulfill the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he becomes a shutef HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'maaseh bereishis. He becomes a partner with God. He becomes the messenger of God in order to do what he wants. I want that poor person to have what he needs. Okay, Rabbeinu Shalom, don't worry about it. Consider it done. I'll take care of it. There's somebody who needs comfort. There's somebody who needs consolation. There's somebody who needs... Rabbeinu Shalom, I'll do it for you. So the one who fulfills the mitzvahs bein adam l'chaveru, not only is he fulfilling the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he's becoming a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the act of creation. The Gemara goes on further. And the Gemara says the following. Yeshayahu talks not only about a tzaddik that is tov and a tzaddik that's not tov. Pasuk goes on to say, Oy l'rosh ra, woe to the bad rosh. Ki gmul yadav ye osalo, the reward he's going to be receive payment for that which he did will be done to him. So the Gemara asks, "B'chi yesh rosh ra? Is there a bad rasha? V'yesh she'eno ra? Is there a rasha? Not a bad, you know, cute rasha. I mean, are there two kinds? A rasha ra, a bad rasha, and a rasha she'eno ra? Ela ra la shamayim If he's bad in his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's bad in his relationship to fellow man, that's a Rosh Ra. That's a bad Rosh. If he's Ra L'Shamayim, if he's bad in his relationship with God, V'eino Ra L'Brios, and he's not bad to fellow man, Zed Rosh She'eino Ra, that's a Rosh who's not bad. Now listen to this Gemara. Listen to what the Gemara is saying. Who is a... Rashi says... Rashi says the following: Ra l'Shamayim v'ra l'Brios, a Rasha, a bad Rasha, a Rasha who's bad to God and bad to man. Kigon, for example, Rashi says Rotzeach, the Gazlin, the Ganif. A fellow who's a Rotzeach, or he's a Gazlin, maybe a Gazlin, he doesn't have to be a Rotzeach, he can be a thief. A thief is Ra l'Shamayim and Ra l'Brios. Now, the other one is Ra l'Shamayim. What about who is the fellow that is bad in his relationship with God? Ve'eino Ra l'Brios, but it's not bad to people. Megala Adayos. And Megala Adayos, a person who's over on Adayos. Do you know what the Gemara is saying? The fellow who is a Megala Adayos, that's a Rosha She'eino Ra. That's not a bad Rosha. The fellow who's a Ganef, that's a bad Rosh. Would we ever have said anything of the sort? Would we ever have said anything of the sort? And the Gala Arayos, that's a horrible, horrible Rosh. That's not what the Gemara says. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara clearly is saying, Rosha, a Rosha Ra, a fellow whose relationship with a fellow man is bad, that's a Rosha Ra. And a Rosha who's not so ra, a Megala Arayis, Ochel Chelev, eats treif. Eats treif. How do we look at it? Listen, a little Geneva, it's a little Geneva. A little embezzlement. Does a little embezzlement come to a person who's an Ochel Treif, McDonald's hamburger and a milkshake on Yom Kippur Shechaldi is B'Shabbos? Can there be anything worse than that? And yet, according to Yeshayahu, as the Gemara understands it, that fellow who does those things on Yom Kippur is a Rosha, but not bad. Rosha She'eino Ra. And the fellow is going to do a little Geneva. You don't have to do Gamba too much. I mean, how much do you have to Gamba to be over Geneva al Pi Torah? How much Lashon Hara do you have to say? How much Rechilas? Would we have ever thought that speaking Lashon Hara is worse than eating treif? They're both Rishoyim. They're both not good people. None of it is recommended. But the Gemara says there's Rosha Ra and there's a Rosha She'eino Ra. There's a Rosha who's evil and then there's a Rosha. Alright. It all fits in with what Rav Meir Simcha says. Because Rav Meir Simcha is telling us, alright, so in the relationship between himself and God, not good, not good. The day will come that he'll understand, he'll see the light. But a sin that eats away at the fabric of Klal Yisrael, that erodes and decays the community, this is destructive. This is destructive. There's another relationship between all that we're saying and Parshas Bishalach. My favorite pasuk. Keli van Vehu Eloke Ovi Varomen. Ze Keli van Vehu. That which you see emblazoned on that very beautiful parov. Ze Keli van Vehu Eloke Ovi Varomen. This is my God, and I will glorify him. Eloke Ovi, the God of my father. And I will exalt him, raise and uplift him. Listen to what the Gemara says on this pasuk. Gemara says the following. Tanya, we learn. Gemara in Shabbos, daf kuf lamed gimel lamed beis. Zekeli van vehu hitnoel lefonov b'mitzvos. Zekeli van vehu means that you should beautify yourself before God through mitzvos. Ase lefonov sukkah, make before God a beautiful sukkah. Lulav noel. Beautiful lulav.
Tzitzis noyim, beautiful tzitzis, sefer Torah noya, a beautiful sefer Torah. Uktov bo, in writing that sefer Torah lishmo, you should write it l'shem Hashem. Bidyo noya, with beautiful ink, ubekumus noya, and with a beautiful quill. The lavlar umam, the sofer, the scribe, should be an artist. The korcho, and you're supposed to wrap the sefer Torah, b'shiroyim noyim, with the with very, very beautiful wrappings around that sefer Torah. That's the first opinion of the Gemara. On what basis does the Gemara say that Zekeli Vanvehu means this is my God and I will perform mitzvahs with beauty, with grace? Because Anvehu comes from the word noi. Like noi, as in noi sukkah, that which beautifies the sukkah. That's the first opinion of the Gemara. There's another opinion. Abishol Omer. Abishol says, Zekeli Va'anvehu, this is my God. Va'anvehu, Hevei Domelo, be like God. Hevei Domelo, be like Him. Mahu Chanun V'Rachum, just as God is compassionate and merciful, Afatahe Chanun V'Rachum, you should also be merciful and compassionate. How does Abishol see that in the word Va'anvehu? Explains Rashi very beautifully. And Vehu stands for Ani Vahu. I and Him. I and Him. I want to be like Him. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is Malbish Avumim, He clothes those who need clothing, He is Mevakeh Cholei, He visits the sick, He gives food to the hungry, He buries the dead, so too I will follow in His ways, v'alachta b'tchach of the great mitzvah of imitato dei, to imitate, to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just as He is Gomel Chesed, He is full of loving kindness, so I should be. Zekeli, this is my God, v'anvehu, and I'm going to be like Him. Ani v'hu, I and Him. Do you see the two opinions in the Gemara? The first opinion in the Gemara is talking completely and solely about the mitzvahs bein Adam l'makom, between man and God. The first one says, Zekeli Vanveyo, a beautiful sukkah, a shena, talus, and gorgeous tzitzis, a beautiful twill and beautiful sefer Torah. All of them are the mitzvahs to bein Adam l'makom. What does Abishol come along and say? No, Zekeli Vanveyu is talking about the mitzvahs bein Adam l'chaveiro. Anivahu, I'm going to be like him. Just as he's Rachum l'chanun, I'm going to be Rachum l'chanun. Question is, does Abishol disagree with the Chachamim? Do the Chachamim disagree with Abishol? there's a very beautiful Torah Tamima. The Torah Tamimah says the following. Yesh loma. The Abishol eino cholek ala chachamim. Abishol says, Anvehu means to be like God, anivahu, I and him. He doesn't disagree with the chachamim. Those who say, Zekeli v'anvehu means this is my God and I will beautify him. I will perform mitzvahs with beauty. He comes in order to add and explain. You know what he's coming along to say? Not enough to have a beautiful sukkah. You have to be a beautiful person. You know why? Because a beautiful mitzvah performed by a person that's not beautiful becomes a chilul Hashem. The mitzvah is not the same mitzvah. Shaina yid, take a look at Gavet Talus. A sukkah, the most beautiful sukkah on the block, but a gunner. A fellow, I tell you, Azar Sefer Torah he gave to the local shul, you give me it passed the computer check, perfect. Gorgeous Sefer Torah. But a mouth that's Lashon Hara and Mechilas. A mitzvah that's beautiful, that's performed by a person who's not beautiful, becomes a mitzvah that's not beautiful. Abishol is saying. Abishol is saying the same thing as the first time. Yes, of course.
Zekeli van Behu. I have to perform mitzvahs with beauty, with grace, with dignity. You know what makes a mitzvah truly beautiful? When the mitzvah is performed by a beautiful person. A person who's rachum v'chanun and sits down in a beautiful sukkah, that's a beautiful mitzvah. That's a beautiful mitzvah. It's all the difference in the world. Pasuk in Mishlei, Shlomo HaMelech says, Nezem zo'ov ba'af chazir isha yofa v'soras pam. A golden nose ring in the nose of a chazir. It's a beautiful nose ring. Believe me, it's a beautiful nose ring. It doesn't do anything for the chazir. For that matter, the chazir doesn't do anything for the nose ring as well. What does Shlomo HaMelech say? That's isha yofa, a beautiful woman, but the soras pam, zahatnishkan pam. Without seichel, so the beauty is, that's not beauty. That's not beauty anymore. A mitzvah that is performed by a person that's not beautiful is not a beautiful mitzvah. So therefore, Abba Shaul is saying, yes, zekei livan veyo. I have to perform beautiful mitzvahs. But who has to perform it? A beautiful person. What troubled me is, why of all things do Jews make this the one and only declaration as they come out of the Yom Suf? You know, I can imagine Jews coming out of the Yom Suf, the great salvation of Klal Yisrael. I don't know, 10 times high. They give 10 times high. 600,000 times high. I don't know what, something. Why does it express itself in this way? Why does it express itself in this way? I mean, one could, of course, say that the Kriyas Yom Suf, as one goes through the Midrashim, one sees that Kriyas Yom Suf, the splitting of the Red Sea and Jews crossing the Red Sea, was done with beauty. I mean, and what happens if it would have been muddy? You think Jews would not have thanked God for the salvation if they would have come out all muddy and dirty? And there it is, the next morning, they're on the other side of the Yom Suf. Also, it would be reason for Hallel. But that's not the way it was done. The Rebbeim took them across the Yom Suf by a bosha b'toch hayam, dry. Came across, it was beautiful. And what the Medrash describes, they saw on the Yam during the course of the night, it was a salvation that was done with beauty and with dignity. I have a feeling that maybe we can go one step further. Zekeli, what does Zekeli mean? Zekeli means, as Rashi says, they were able to point, Rosa Shifchal Hayam, a maidservant at the sea, saw more than Yecheskel ben Buzi saw the very essence of God. Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. They believed in God and his servant Moshe. They saw with absolute clarity. They saw the Rabbeinu Shlom. You know what happens when you see the Rabbeinu Shlom with absolute clarity? It means, of course, that you see the spark of divinity, the Tzelem Elokim, in every human being, because then you see God throughout. If you see God throughout, and you see His beauty as it is reflected in all of His creatures, Zekeli v'amzehu, so then you want to perform mitzvahs with beauty, and you want to become the beautiful person. Anivahu. Why Anivahu? Because they see Him now. They see Him, they experience Him, they know Him. What has been opened up to them is what the knowledge that was opened up to the Nevi'im. They see it in all of the its beauty and in all of its splendor. There's a Rashi in Masechta Sota that I want to read to you, and we'll close with that. The Gemara says that Mishachorah Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Pasku Anshe Amona. There were no longer people of faith. There were no longer people of faith.
That's fascinating, incidentally, you have to understand. Mishnah is talking about when, that means before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, there were people of great faith. Didn't make a difference. Didn't save them. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, then the Gemara says, Poskul Anshi Amon, a people of faith or trust.
Says Rashi, Shema Aminim B'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, people who believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want to hear how Rashi describes believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Levater Mimonam Mimamonam Lenoi Hidur Mitzvah. Do you know what it means to believe that a person is ready to give up from his money in order to fulfill Noi Hidur Mitzvah, the beauty of glorifying a mitzvah? Ulet Staka, and to give money for tzedakah. Ula hutzah shabbosas v'yamin tovim, and to spend money for the expenses of Shabbos and Yantav. Rashi is saying that there is a relationship of all things. I mean, we would never have described it this way. People would ever have said, faith, we would have said, you know, faith is faith. Anshi amona. Anshi amona. You know, I can say that I believe in God. I have faith. Animan in the Emunah Shlema. But Emunah means a bit more, and in Hebrew we say, you know, Latet Imun. Imun is to trust. A relationship of trust. Not only I believe that he exists, but I trust him. I trust him means that if the Rabbeinu Shlelem says, you're going to give tzedakah, you're going to get it all back, I trust him. If the Rabbeinu Shlelem says that the money that you're going to spend for Shabbos and Yantav, you should know that money guaranteed, it's money in the bank, you're going to get it back. If I believe that the money that I spend of my own free will in order to make a mitzvah beautiful is money that I'm going to get back, that's an act of trust. That's an act of trust. That's trust. We know what happens, you know, when times are hard and things are difficult, so standard of living is one of the last things to go down. The first thing that goes down is, we have to take a look at the list of tzedakahs. We're obviously not going to be able to give as much tzedakah this year as we did in years past. Listen, the esrig is just not going to be the same. It'll be an esrig in a box, and it's going to be the least expensive esrig in a box. Least expensive. That's speaking, a man of faith speaking without trust. If there is real trust, trust means not only I believe you, I trust your word. You said that for all of these things it's guaranteed I get it back. It makes no difference how hard the times are. I'll make the mitzvah a little bit more beautiful. I'm going to a little hit a mitzvah. Tzedakah, I'm going to keep giving tzedakah. Shabbos and Yantiv, Shabbos and Yantiv. On the basis of this Rashi, I want to say that when it says right before the Yamsuf, Vayaminu b'Hashem u'v'Moshe Avdo, they believed in God and his servant Moshe. We're not talking about something theological or philosophical, that there in the dark of night as they stand pondering the Yom Suf, they become aware of the great truths and the mystery of God. Ah! I see God, I know God. Nah! Nah! And I believe that's what the Pasuk is saying, it occurs to me now. The God that we believed in, they say, the God of my father, you remember that, Rashi? I am not the first one. Doesn't begin with me. His godliness and his divinity is something that I have yet from the days of my father. What happened now was, that God of my father, I learned now to trust him. When he said, when he said, Hashem Yilachem Lachem Vatem Tacharishun, you can bet on it. You know what? You can bet your life on it. So it's more than simply a leap of faith. What Klal Yisrael has done now is there's been the great leap of trust. I trust it. You say that I give tzedakah, I'm going to get it back. I'm not holding it to it. I'm not keeping a cheshbon. But I know that I'm going to get it back. I don't have to keep a cheshbon. Magnificent, magnificent Rashi. Ma'aminim anshei emona v'yaminu v'ashem uva Moshe avdo. Trust. And therefore they say, Zekeli v'anzeyu elokei avdo. Zekeli, this is my God, v'anzeyu v'anzeyu v'anzeyu. I know I'm going to spend money on sukkah and tzitzis noy and tefillin noy. I'm going to do all of that. And also, as Abba Shaul says, the underlying ingredient, which is the beauty of all mitzvahs, ani v'hu. I've seen you in all your glory. I want to be like you. So here it is. We've taken a journey from a Meshech Chachma. Really, the journey was all the result of a missing vav, the vav that wasn't there. And the vav that wasn't there is a vav that tells us a great deal. It tells us a great deal about how we are to look at Klal Yisrael and how we are to look at ourselves. We have to learn to understand that there are great things that we can accomplish, and we can accomplish them without anger, and without rancor, and without all of those things. Our responsibility is, the time has come, that in whatever way we can, to make this community here in Eretz Yisrael a community of Ahava v'Ahava, of Shalom v'Reyos. Enough already there, there's been more than enough Chilul Hashem. We need ongoing Kiddush Hashem. We need the Zekeli v'Andeyu of Anivahu, just as he is Rabbi V'Chanan, so I will be Rachel Mekhan.